And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We are coming to you live this morning. It is October 26, 2024. We welcome you folks out there and we thank you for being here. And I'll bring the men on the line. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
And good morning, Josh.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here this morning, men. Before we get started, we're going to go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you lead us, guide us, and direct us this morning on coffee, and we pray that you just be with your people and be with your land. We recognize that we're living in interesting, exciting times, and we do give thanks to you for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. We ask, Father, that you continue to bear us up, lift us up, assist us, guide us, and direct us. Give us an extra dose of that Holy Spirit, that you be with us, that you guide our paths, Father, and we ask, Father, that you save America again. We pray, Father, as this land is in need of saving, we need salvation across this land, and we need people to turn their hearts and their minds back to you and seek you in your ways. We just ask, Father, that you give us the wisdom to do that. We pray as our enemies make an uproar against us, we pray that you deal with them as you see fit. Bind and bundle them and deal with them, Lord. We pray that you expose them for their plots. We pray, let them be caught in their plots. Let them be exposed for who they are and what they are. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, and we thank you for it. Amen.
Amen.
Well, there is a lot of stuff going on, but we haven't had Josh on here for quite a while, so I guess I'm going to turn it over to you, Josh. What's on your mind this morning?
So we just... thinking about, you know, there is so much going on, but just as you were saying, and it was, I don't think it's ever been any more important for us to be not just willing to be, but aspiring to be that lighthouse on the hill that that shines for the rest of the world to see, even though, you know, everything's going on, that we're not shaken, that our feet are firmly planted on the rock. And that we're not being cast about in the sand running out from underneath our feet, because our rock is Jesus Christ. And this week we're just thinking about we've got to be particular. We got to be diligent. We got to be examining ourselves, watching ourselves to make sure that we're not falling into that category of the Pharisees, whenever we're doing the things that we do in any amount to be seen, not just to be doing the work of the kingdom. And, you know, I was contemplating what it looked like in the Bible stories, the scriptures we read about the Pharisees and the things that they did, how they conducted themselves, and had a guy that was working with us, this is recent experience, that, you know, we did our safety meeting, we got to work and talk about what we're going to do for the day, and then we pray as a group and going about what we were going to do for our work. Well, this guy, very respectful, once we got through talking about our work and everything, we were about to pray, at first I'd start praying, he'd slip out. And then after a few days of that, and he didn't say anything, he was just doing his thing, I'd pause for a minute, and he'd know we were about to pray, and he'd slip out and do his thing. And later on, at some point, I got a chance to talk to him, and I just thanked him for being respectful, you know, because we as a group of Christians was gathering and praying, but he didn't go make a big deal to, you know, to where we were working and try to get a shutdown and whatever. He just stepped out and wasn't part of it, and he was good with it, you know, and got to talking to him, and he was a ex-military guy. He served a couple of tours in Iraq and Afghanistan, and yeah, he'd seen a bunch of stuff and been in a bunch of stuff that just made him question you know, God and where you're at and all. And I had been contemplating of, you know, what do you say to somebody? How do you approach the subject or whatever? And so, anyway, I just told him that, well, I respect you and respect where you're at. I appreciate you, you know, not trying to shut us down because you're something different. And we talked about it and I went on. But, you know, I guess in a lot of folks' opinions would be that you needed to go to him and, you know, read John 3:16 and try to beat him with the Bible and bring him to Christianity. But I mean, he's heard that before. I'm pretty sure anybody in the free world has heard John 3:16, and believe it meant more for me to deal fairly with him every day, to not treat him any differently, to live the fruits of the Spirit with him and show him a Christian, you know. And on that job, we had some decisions where it was hard decisions, and I had to take some stands and do. But it's more important to show him a Christian than just to tell him about a Christian. And I think if I'd hit him with a Bible, we probably would have stopped talking then and wouldn't have had a chance to really be able to speak to him and him receive what I'm saying anymore. So, we got to be particular. We got to be wise. We got to think about what we're doing and what we're saying, because it is a different time right now in the world. And there aren't a lot of folks that think like we do and conduct ourselves the way that we do, and still works. God's still blessing us through the midst of it every day. You know, he hasn't changed. It's just that we've changed. Our people have changed. And we got to show them something different and be intentional that we don't do things to be seen doing things. You know, we're doing it because it's the right thing to do.
Well, you're walking the
Josh,
walk,
you know,
and you're talking the talk. I mean, it's, you know, that's what is important, and that's what we need to be doing as Christians, is living by example. And I think what you're describing is doing just that, is, you know, living by example. You know, you don't have to go up there and preach to this man and tell him that, you know, you're a Christian. You're living it, and you know, and living by that example of Christ, and letting him guide your ways. I mean, you know, how blessed can you be to have a job that, you know, that you're that you can pray at your safety meetings, and, you know, pray for protection, pray for your men. I mean, that's, you know, that is a blessing. And you know, this guy, he's got you know, I don't know this man, but he's got enough of a law on his heart where he's not going out and going and trying to find some supervisor, somebody else, and telling them, you know, these guys are over here and they're offending me and they're doing this and they're doing that. You know, it sounds like he's a man's man. And I think that there is, deep down inside, there's laws that are written on his heart, and he probably knows, you know, that it is right. And I think you're doing the right thing.
Yeah, Josh, you said you weren't hitting him with the scriptures. I think you were, but just not by quoting them, by living them. Like Jason said, you know, you show that example. It's what we do. It's what you do that is really more important than what you can quote or what you can say or what Jesus wants you to do this or yeah, even John 3:16. You know, when we live it, when we do it, when we show it, you know, that makes the greater impact. It really does. And I would bet he's probably, you know, like most of the men's men that are out there, that most of what they hear from Christianity are these, you know, if they hear it on the radio, it's this effeminate, Jesus loves you and wants the best for you. And it's just this huge turnoff, and it's by design. I go back, you know, Jesus's, the disciples he picked were fishermen. They were salty fishermen. They weren't these soft-spoken, pansy soft hands. They were as hardcore speaking then, I'm sure, as they are today. And that's who Christ chose to follow him. And it should be no different today, but the enemy has stepped in. And what a glorious day it's going to be when those men's men do come to Christ and do realize that it's not just this effeminacy out there, but what true Christianity is. And I think you gave him a great example of it. Thank you for sharing that. Absolutely.
Yeah, I guess, and you are, you're right about that. He's a big, burly, bearded guy. You know, he man's man when he spoke. Everybody heard, you know. And that's so true that the what is portrayed as Christianity nowadays is 180 degrees out from what it should be. And a man like that isn't going to want anything to do with that. And I've just had some conversations recently with a couple individuals, one for sure that was talking about how that person wasn't worthy, you know, that they didn't come across in a certain way and, you know, and as far as, you know, how could God use them or whatever, because they're not one of the ones that gets on Facebook and posts scripture every day and, you know, puts out there everything that they do and building, I guess they're a new character through, you know, what's their brand that's presented. And I'd use that exact example, you know, who did Christ use whenever he was here? Was it the social influencers, you know, were it the ones out there that were being seen, showing that they had everything and had great lives and, you know, they were good Christians and, you know, that were portraying this picture of perfection, or was it people on the other side of it, you know, the the ones that knew what a jail cell looked like and like I said, just salty workers, you know, the salt of the earth folks that had a willing heart and that knew that they were sinners and knew that their only chance was through him. And that's what he's looking for today, is for us ones that know that we're not good enough on our own and, you know, we can't get where we're going without him, and we need him. And not just need him, but we want him. And we love him and we're thankful for what we got. And, it's so important that you don't let the programming get you, you know, that you're not seeing what people portray out there as this fake reality, because it's not real. It's just they put all this time into making it look real, but it's not real. And we don't need to try to set our sights on something that's not real. We need to live our lives every day. Have one that whenever you go to bed at night, you can hang your hat up and know that you did your best to deal squarely with folks and to be that light. You know, nobody can look at you and say that he intentionally beat somebody or he intentionally did wrong by somebody, that you didn't help. It's important, and it's important that we remind each other of that you know, that stuff is not real.
Well, and you can look at it too in one of the, you know, it's the other way around. There's these people, you have people that are out there that go that, you know, everybody around them, they're going to tell them that they're a Christian. And then, but you look at their actions and you look how they treat people and they treat, how they do their job. And, you know, if you got somebody that's going around telling you how, you know, what a great Christian they are and, you know, oh, you need to come to Jesus, but then you look at them and they're basically screwing up everything that they touch, you know, it gives Christianity a bad name. And, you know, there's the counterfeit to that. And, you know, there's people that see that And it turns them away from Christianity because they say, you know, this guy is a Christian and he wants everybody to become a Christian. But you look at him and look at, you know, his life's a mess. His, you know, everything that he does is a mess. It's and you're talking about doing things the opposite. And that's what we need to do. We need to do things God's way. We don't need to be out there, you know, telling everybody, that we're a Christian. We need to live it. And I think we've talked about that in the past. I know Paul's brought that up several times that, you know, he said the highest compliment you can have is for people to see and know that you're a Christian without you having to tell them that.
Yep.
I was thinking a lot about, coming up. We've finished up. A lot of things been going on, and things have just been as busy as can be. And, you know, we've got the Dragon Slayer newsletter that will be hot on the presses come Monday. And but it's ready to go. And putting together some stuff for Thanksgiving and just, you know, trying to – I've heard so much despair and so much – so many people that are just discouraged about everything. And there's a lot of people that are worrying about, you know, this upcoming election. And I've been really trying to, you know, encourage people not to worry, to put their trust in the Lord. And, you know, I've had people that are Christians that, telling me, well, you know, if this election doesn't go the way that I want it to, that, you know, I'm going to have to leave the country. And you know, my response to that is, well, where are you going to go? Where do you think that you're going to go? I mean, you know, seriously, pack up and move. I mean, it's like you look at what's happened in the last 4 years and I think God's got us through. I know he's got us through this and pretty darn good. I mean, you think about how blessed we are right now in the times that we're living in under the administration that we have. And you know, people, I see a lot of people wanting to talk about how bad it is. And, you know, I really believe that things have been good, that God's got us through. He's, you know, had our hands through this. He's guided us. He's directed us. He's brought people to Christ. He's brought people to, you know, taking a stand on things. There's been a lot of people that have opened up their eyes, that have been opened up through the things that have happened in the last, you know, several years. COVID woke a lot of people up. It woke people up in, you know, to the medical establishment and to the fact that they're being lied to, you know, and people are making healthier lifestyle choices. I see it all the time. And, you know, the scripture that that I read this morning was Colossians 4, verse 2, and it says, devote yourself to prayer, keep alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. And, you know, so much of the time it's, you know, being thankful, it's like we are commanded over and over and over to be thankful. And we've got a lot of people out there that are not thankful because, you know, they're complaining about the things that are going on so much. And if you're complaining about everything, you're not being thankful. You know, you can either have it one way or another. And I really believe, and I've seen it happen over and over, and in my life, is, you know, just being thankful for what I have. God has blessed me with more. And, you know, I know that, you know, when I go to the Heavenly Father and I thank him for what I do have, you know, sometimes it's not much, but when I give thanks and I praise him for it, I know that that he smiles at that. And, you know, when you have a grateful son or a daughter that comes to you and thanks you for something that you're doing for him, or a wife, or, you know, whatever it is, it makes you feel good inside, and you want to bless them with more, and you want to give them more, and you want to give them more to be thankful for. And I just see that, you know, there's people that need to wake up to that, and they need to continue to be thankful. You got these people that are, oh, they're moaning about how the economy is and this and that and everything like that. With what we are dealing with, I really believe that God has got us through a lot of these things. You know, people, there's people that are, there's The unemployment rate is, you know, high, but how many Christian brothers and sisters do you know that are actually unemployed out there? I mean, I see help wanted. Anybody that wants to work right now should be able to find a job pretty darn easy.
Not just a job, but as many jobs as you want. I mean, there's work out there, and we know that those numbers can all be manipulated to be made to look a certain way, you know. So, yeah, I agree with you on that. And, you know, on that Thanksgiving, it's so important that we give a credit where credit's due, and we don't, you know, sometimes it's hard to open your mouth. Whenever something happens and you're blessed, you know, don't let it be said that that sure was lucky, you know.
Lucky.
Give glory to, right. Oh, well, it sure was lucky. No, it was a blessing.
It was a blessing from God. Exactly.
And I'm thankful for it. And, you know, we just recently had a situation where we were on, like in the last couple of months, we were on a job site. And anyway, we were doing some work and we got out of there and it was during shift change and there was an event that occurred. And if we'd have been there in close proximity to it, it would have negatively affected all of us and maybe even took a couple of us out, and that was a blessing from God that it didn't happen just a little while earlier whenever we were all there. And different people made comments, and I let them know for sure how I stood about it, that it was a blessing. You know, he took care of us. We had God's favor, and that wasn't an area that was full of people where this happened at, that, you know, we're all injured or worse because of it. And, you know, we get our wires crossed on what we want and what we need. And people talk about how bad it is, but I'm pretty sure none of us have missed any meals. You might not have had steak that you wanted, you know, but, you know, we're all still eating. And if somebody's not, they need help eating, hey, you know, let us know and we'll help get you fed. But a lot of times we don't realize what's important until you don't have it, or until a scare happens and you realize that, oh, you know, this could change and I could not have this person or these people, or, you know, and at that point you don't care about any amount of money, you know, because you realize what's important. And it's not our houses and trucks and whether we go to a fancy steakhouse that's important. It's not. But we get things twisted, and we're measuring by an earthly ruler instead of, you know, what it is, a scriptural, I guess you'd say, ruler, and things that are really important to us.
And yeah, I think Derek time said, too, he chimed in and said 2 Samuel 7:10, and I even want to share this scripture real quick because we were talking about people wanting to move out of the country and stuff like that. 2 Samuel 7:10 says, "Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time." He says God's people need to know this. Appreciate you sharing that with us, Derek. That's good scripture. And and that's talking about us here in the New Jerusalem, not these Israelites over there in Israel. But going back to what you were saying, Josh, you know, it's exactly that's the way that I see it. It's you know, we have been abundantly blessed. Our children are growing up. You've got children that are exceeding in what they do. They're being homeschooled. We can keep our wives at home who are schooling our children. I mean, that, you know, that is a blessing from God. God has made that possible. Is it easy? No, it's not easy. It takes a lot of work and it's hard. And you know, like you said, we haven't missed any meals, and we've actually been able to help other people, you know, been a blessing to people and put people, you know, that need help in other ways, put food on their table, so to speak. And that's the point that I'm trying to make is in the midst of everything, we have been abundantly blessed.
Yeah, and that's a great point. You know, these things that happen, whether they are the economy, you know, whether it's the storms and the devastation that we've seen in this nation, regardless, they are opportunities. They're opportunities, like you said, Jason, to help others. They're opportunities that if somebody doesn't have food on the table, well, guess what? It's an opportunity to help with that. It's an opportunity to live this you know, this Christianity that we adhere to. It is an opportunity to do that, to help others, to love your neighbor. You know, you mentioned Brother Paul earlier. He had texted, said he couldn't make it this morning. He had something come up, but you know, he's always telling us that very thing, that, you know, that it's times of adversity, it's times of trial that you know, reveal character, that bring us closer to God. And you know, I can't help but think that yeah, this tough economy where people are having to work two or three jobs. Heck, I saw even the next president was serving French fries. He's even having to work at McDonald's part time. And so, you know, if he's having to, but people do. They have the opportunity to dig deep and to find a little grit and say, you know, dang it, I got to do this, and I might have to do that as well. But the opportunity is there, and I have to try to look at it through those lenses as well. That, you know, we are abundantly blessed, and we're able to help others, and we see that, and we've had the opportunity, and that really is a good thing. I mean, we don't like to see death or destruction of in our land, of our people, at all. We certainly desire life and life abundant, but sometimes it's just how it is. That's how life is. And
we've got a caller that's on. We're going to go to the caller right now. Hey, Warren, how are you?
I'm doing good. I was calling in. You know, you're talking about Christianity. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir, we can.
Well, you know, the news media up here in Wisconsin had a news report on last Sunday, I know it was. You know, Kamala Harris goes to these different churches, and Vance is going to the evangelical churches, and Vance was talking about Christianity and Jesus Christ, you know, and faith. And the churches that Harris was going to said that, you know, they don't want to be called Christians. I don't know if you heard that or not.
Yep, sure did.
And as I'm looking up, you know, I went to Psalms 103 where my niece Katrina, you know, I prayed for her. She's got cancer, but I went to Psalm 114, you know, it talks about the Red Sea deliverance, and God saw the Red Sea, saw the Egyptians coming and opened up the Red Sea, and it says that, you know, he stopped the River Jordan. We need that for our country today, because the first verse says that, you know, this is his land, his new, you know, his new home. America is his new home, you know. And I want to share that, too.
Well, I appreciate that, Warren.
Okay, God bless
you. God bless. You have a good day. Thanks for calling. And the phone number to call in is 970-224-4203. That's 970-224-4203. Yeah, and you can't have, like Warren was talking about, that Red Sea deliverance. You can't have a Red Sea deliverance without being in a Red Sea predicament. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, forget that. You know, they want the deliverance without being in the predicament. And you know, we've got it pretty darn good. And that's one of the things that, you know, I want to remind people of, and we want to remind people. And then do, you know, at the same time, do we make preparations and do we prepare for, you know, the things to come? Absolutely. I think that that's commanded of us as well. But, you know, we're commanded to be thankful and to be grateful, and to help our neighbor and, you know, and to work hard. I mean, I think that that's, you know, like what Josh was talking about earlier, you know, putting it in, putting your time in, making an effort, going the extra mile. There's, you know, so many people that they just, they want to skim coat, get, you know, do the bare minimum on what they can and, you know, try to get by. When we talk about these people that have to have, you know, three jobs, well, you know, maybe if they did a good job at the one job that they had, they wouldn't have to do all these other things. I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of things out there.
So you talking about those preparations, maybe think about a conversation I had last night. There was a young man I went to go quote a job at his house, and I've known him for a long time. And we were talking about a situation they were in, and one of his folks around him close was having some medical issues, and he was saying that different ones had offered to cook for him. Like, different ones wanted to be able to cook and bring meals. And, you know, he said that he didn't really want to do that. And we were talking about it. He said, well, it's, you know, it's a pride thing. That he didn't want anybody to be able to say that he didn't do it on his own. You know, that he didn't make it on his own. And he said that one of the little old ladies that was wanting to do for him and his family, whenever he told her he appreciated it, but they didn't need or whatever, and she got on him and she said, "Well, you trying to steal from me then?" And said, "Well, what you mean?" And she said, "Well, you trying to rob my blessings that I get from being a blessing to y'all?" She said, That's the way this works. And she said, "You're trying to beat me out of my blessings, and I don't appreciate that." Yeah, she got on.
You haven't even heard that before, have you, Josh?
yeah. And, yeah, definitely. I got a pretty good little tongue lashing from Pastor Peters on that same exact conversation, you know. But so the point is that part of the way that we're preparing for what's coming is by giving what we got away, you know, by being a blessing to others, feeding the hungry. And if somebody needs a hand, you know, going and helping them. I know we say that we've only got so many hours here, you know, and that we got to make the most of it. But we also know the guy that's in charge of how many hours you got here. And you can't give away more than he can give you, because everything you got, he gave you to start out with. You know, we're not promised anything. So, back to that, letting that light shine, you know, we should want to be a blessing to others, to our people, not everybody, but we should want to be a blessing to our people just because it's what we're supposed to do, not expecting anything in return, but knowing that God's happy with what we're doing. And actually, if you're looking for something in return, if you could, you know, trying to build a cache of favors, well, then you're doing it wrong to start out with, and you can't have what he's got, because that's not the way it works. If you're doing something for somebody because you're expecting something to come later on down the road, that's just a business deal. You know, that's nothing to do with helping your neighbor and being a blessing to them.
Yeah, that makes sense. What else is going on down in your neck of the woods? Anything exciting over there in Louisiana?
No, and you know that we say no news is good news, thankfully. I mean, it's dry, but it's supposed to be dry. It's October, and that's what happens. And, you know, we get into the fall, and everybody gets their hay up and gets the grass planted. And, you know, but I tell you, there is a different look about everything because of last year with the drought. So many of the farmers sold off so many of their cattle. There's just a fraction of the cattle here in our area than what it used to be because, like I said, the prices were high and so many sold. And everybody was expecting whenever the prices came back down, because that's what cattle prices do. Go up and they go down. They always have.
And they just stayed up.
Right, but they have stayed up,
And so, you know, what you sold for, which was good money last year, you'd have to put money with that to buy what you had this year, you know. And so nobody's buying replacements because they, you know, they cost so much. And that's a different look and different feel. And I don't know if it's just in my region down here, but, you know, that can make for a pretty big deal. I'm guessing, and just the folks that I've talked to, I know a bunch of folks that run cattle, and most people sold about a third of what they had, and they hadn't built back any. But, you know, that makes some pretty big numbers whenever you talk about it in a whole geographic region, you know, and then it not being replaced. It'll take a little while for that supply to come back.
Well, I went to the sale barn the other day, and you know, I was thinking about getting some. We got a place right down the road that we can keep some calves and stuff. And I was just thinking about getting some calves. You know, now historically, it'd be a good time to buy some young calves. You know, stuff that's anywhere from a couple days to a couple weeks old. And I was astonished at the prices. They had two. I kept thinking sometimes they start out at those auctions in the first couple things. Sometimes they start out high. Sometimes they start out low. Sometimes, you know, and first couple of the, you know, 2-3 day old calves were selling between $600 and $800. And I thought, this is, you know, they got to come down in price. And they went the opposite direction. And, you know, an hour into this auction, they had some more, you know, 2-3 day old calves, and they sold for $1,100 a piece. And I was planning on buying a couple of them, you know, four of them, six of them, you know, whatever, you know, you know, letting the kids do them as a project, you know, bottle feed them for a while, wean them, and, you know, keep them. But, you know, when they're that young, I mean, and going into winter, the reason that they're usually cheap is
you're going to lose some of them.
I mean, they ain't going to make it. And I'm looking at this, and it's like, you know, I'm not willing to gamble with $1,100 on a 2-day old calf.
Right.
It was just, I thought it was insanity. And I was talking with some of the other guys there, and they said the prices had just, I mean, they'd just been that high.
I thought it was something because a fellow was telling me yesterday they just sold some late calves, and one of them was about a 700-pound-ish bull, and that thing brought close to $2,000. Now, we're talking about just regular crossbred, you know, Angus, whatever. I mean, nothing papered, registered, you know. And, I mean, that's almost $3 a pound on the hook for a, you know, 700-pound yearling. Like, what does that translate to, you know, by the time it makes it to the grocery store? That's crazy.
Well, and the price on you know, buying a quarter, I had some people that were selling some beef here locally, and it's good. I mean, it's good beef. It's, you know, it's no hormones, no antibiotics. I mean, it's what you would call, you know, all natural. Not certified organic by any means, not grass fed, you know, grain finished, but, you know, good quality stuff. And, you know, average price is, $1,000 a quarter, you know, $4,000, for, you know, an animal. And there was, you know, I was talking, somebody asked me yesterday, I was in an electrical supply house, and, you know, they asked me what a quarter of a beef was running. And I said, right at $1,000, you know. Maybe a little more, maybe a little less, you know, depending on the weight, but that's it. And they're saying how, oh, that's high. That's really high. And the person standing behind me said, no, that's a pretty good deal. That's, you know, and they said, we've been buying it. And that's, if you can get one for that, that's a good price. And you might want to think about filling your freezer. And that's where we're at. Processing's high, beef's high, feed's high. I mean, it's, you know, it is, but it's, you know, it's kept up there. And, you know, it's good to see that some of these farmers are getting some good prices out of their cows and out of their, you know, out of their beef.
Yeah. Yeah. Problem is, there's just not as many of them to be able to.
Well, it is a supply and demand market, so. Well, and there's a lot of people, and that's the other thing that we've noticed too, is there's a lot of people that are wanting better quality food. They don't want to, they'd rather, you know, pay more money and get something that's healthier and put it in, you know, put food and have a freezer full of meat than, you know, going to the grocery store two or three times, you know, a week and buying, you know, what the grocery stores are selling, you know, and definitely a healthier way to go.
You know, and all this is a conversation around, you know, we talk about fat and happy, you know, and this fat and happy is not necessarily a good thing. You know, it's kind of a derogatory term. And where we're at now is, I guess, figuratively and literally, people are realizing that, you know, they got to do something different to make this work. And, you know, you got to be methodical about your money and how you spend it and where you put it and invest it and not just be wasteful, you know. And a lot of them with their food, doing better with making better food choices and thinking about long-term effects of this cheap quarter pounder of a cheese that President Trump served you, you know. That it's not just about today. It's about if I'm part of this lifestyle long term, where is it going to put me health wise? You know, it's not good for us, but we're getting away from that fat and happy to some extent, and that's a good thing for us. You know, you mentioned that you got to have the Red Sea predicament. Well, that's historically, scripturally, and regular history. Just like that saying goes, you know, good times, easy times make weak men make hard times, hard times make strong men. I mean, it's a cycle, and we're on that building back side of that cycle where it's going to take strong men to get things back together and to pull us back towards God and where we need to be. And, it's really a blessing to us. Sometimes it's hard to see when you're right there close to it, whenever you got these things that you perceive to be negative that are going on around you. But it's all a blessing for us, and we know that. The scripture tells us that.
Yeah, that is for sure. One of the things that I noticed is, and I was going to talk about, was I seen an article on a kind of a mainstream news site today, and it was interesting because it's like some of the stuff that we've talked about, you know, we used to be considered radical when we talked about it. Now some of the stuff is, well, a lot of the stuff has really become mainstream. And the article starts out and it says Jewish Bolsheviks killed over 60 million Orthodox Christians, many of them from starvation caused by food theft, deliberate destruction of agriculture sector. And I just want to read a little bit of it. Most, it starts out, most people know about the Holocaust, but did you also know that a much worse mass slaughter of human beings occurred a few decades prior when communist Bolsheviks, many of them Jewish, murdered more than 60 million Orthodox Christians and Muslims in the Russian Revolution? It started in 1917 when two revolutions swept through Russia, effectively ending Russia's longtime legacy of imperial rule and ushering in the murderous communist regime known as the Soviet Union. Before the communist takeover of Russia, the Russian people were largely poor in earthly possessions, but rich in Christ Jesus through their Orthodox faith. The Bolsheviks scoffed at this arrangement, thinking it foolish that anyone would follow Christ rather than to try to live their best life now. And it goes on and so forth, but it was a good article, and I thought it was interesting just because, I mean, it wasn't that many years ago you couldn't see anything published like that. And if you did publish anything like that, it'd be, you know, spewed out as people would be attacking them left and right for hate speech and neo-Nazi and anti-Semitic. And, I mean, they, you know all the buzzwords that they use to, you know, try to, you know, get people to turn away and to use those thoughts that are already made up in their mind about them. And I just thought it was interesting because it was, you know, it was, people's eyes are continuing to open up, and people are, I really think that people are looking for the truth more than they have in the past.
Yep. And then also, too, another small part of it, main thing is the truth being a lot, but also, too, we know that the evil ones, they love for their deeds to be revealed. That's part of it. You know, they can't help themselves. That's what, you know, and,
that's what they
about
do.
Right. That's what they do. It's bred in them. Talking about people's eyes being open, and it wasn't that long ago whenever, even though you could look it up and read about HAARP and all the different things and cloud seeding and all that, that people still would argue you down that, you know, there weren't any forms of weather control. And now, you know, it's pretty well common knowledge. And, you know, there's a whole lot of folks that know that, you know, up there, that Appalachian mountain region, whatever it is up there in North Carolina, the, you know, Smoky Mountains, that it's just such a clinky dink that they all got washed off the map, all these homes and houses and businesses that didn't have any flood insurance because they lived in the mountain. And, but, you know, it's just a clinky dink that there's some of the richest lithium deposits that have been in the process trying to be permitted to be able to, you know, excavate, and the people were fighting it, and now guess what? There's a lot less people that live there to fight it. You know, and like it yep. I don't want to say amazing to me because you got to watch what you say, but it's impressive of how many people, and like that's just almost like a common knowledge thing, you know, and people just accept it, and it's wow.
Yes, I agree. I know. I've seen the same thing, and it's like, I mean, you know, I've had people that I did not expect to call me or email me, and they're telling me about this lithium deposit and how this was, how they're doing this and they're doing that over there, and it's like, wow, it's encouraging because, you know, people are waking up.
Yeah, and anybody that's listening and not familiar, go look it up. You know, there's a bunch of articles on it, and the companies that are trying to get permitted and all. And
it's not a coincidence. And you know, we got people right here in our own country that they don't care. They'll take you out for a dollar if that's what serves their.
Well, you look at BlackRock, and I mean, and the things that they've done and the things that we've covered in the past, it's like, you know, it's every few months it seems like there's a natural disaster, either a train derailment you know, where they're trying to do something and, you know, massive chemical spills and basically taking out a town. Or, you know, you got this where they've spent billions and billions of dollars on, you know, buying up stocks in mining claims, and then all of a sudden there's, you know, these natural disasters around it. I mean, you know, same thing goes back from, you know, to Hawaii to California fire stuff to this. I mean, Blackwater is definitely a very evil entity.
And, you know, the only way that we're going to be protected from these organizations, these folks, is through the blood. I mean, that's our refuge and that's our strength, and we gotta look to him for that protection and have a relationship where we can hear him, and when, you know, we feel good about being able to pray, and you know, when there's a disaster looming, the first thing we need to think about is praying. You know, we don't need to think about your gas for the generator or your food or whatever. First thing you need to do is turn to him and pray that he would keep us there and under his covering, you know, us and our families, and guide our feet is what we should do. That needs to be any problem that you have, your first place you need to turn is to him. And I believe we're getting there. And as the fire keeps on getting hotter, we'll get closer and closer to that place.
Well, that's
I think it was that way in Egypt as well. You know, that they had disasters after disaster after disaster, you know. Darkness for 3 days, but light in the land of Goshen. And I think that converted a lot of, that drove it home, I think, for a lot of God's people. And he delivered them then. That was a thought that occurred to me when you were talking about that, Josh. And he'll do it now for those that trust him, for those that trust and obey. You got to do more than believe. You know, the demons believe, and they shudder. So you got to do more than believe. We try to get that out. But Psalms 91, Psalms 83, Psalms 23, I mean, all those promises that he delivers, those that trust in him.
Well, we are down to about 4 minutes left. Closing thoughts?
Just as always, attitude of gratitude. Be thankful for what we got. And, take it and multiply it. We see all the different parables about the seeds. And, you know, we've got these seeds. God gives us these ingredients. And it's on us to throw them out there, to put them out there, and then he'll take care of the rest. We, you know, pray for him and move on to the next spot to plant. You're talking about people moving or people leaving the country, and I thought about that sign that Pastor Peters has, you know, to grow where you planted. And, it's so true. You can only back up to the house, and then once you're at the house, where else are you going to go, you know? This is our land, and we need to stand firm and claim it and fight for it. And it should be, by God, this is where we stand, you know, and it's on the rock. And everything we do should be from that attitude.
Amen. Well, and I think that, you know, that's what we should do. And I, you know, just want to encourage people, you know, stay faithful. You know, I want and been encouraging people and encouraging them in this next newsletter that's coming out. You know, pray, you know, Psalms 91. Make sure that you're walking in the full armor of God of Ephesians 6. And, you know, and Psalms 83, I think, is a perfect prayer for our enemies on what they're doing and what they're trying to do here in this land. And just want to encourage people, you know, be faithful, trust the Lord, smile at the future. He's in control. This is the land, and we are the people. And be found being thankful and working and trying. I mean, you know, sometimes it's like when we're doing things, you know, it's we try things, and if it doesn't work, we go back and we try to figure out something else, and we try something else, and maybe that doesn't work, or maybe it does work, and then we go back and then we try to refine it and try to figure out, okay, how can we make this work better? How can we make it stronger? How can we make it more powerful? And I think that's part of, you know, pressing forward and going forward, and you know, God wants us. He wants us trying. Doesn't want us just sitting back, you know, waiting and complaining about how bad things are. I think that you know, he really wants us to, you know, to strive to do better. And you know, it's encouraging to me to see people waking up and people, you know, that are hungry and thirsting for knowledge, and they're looking for different things, and they're trying to find pieces of information, and they're putting pieces of the puzzle together. And it's, you know, it is really exciting, and I'm encouraged by it. But just, you know, I want to go ahead, and I just want to close out with prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all these many blessings that you give us each and every day, Father, and we praise you for all the things that you do. We thank you, Father, for the sunshine. We thank you for the rain. We thank you for the food that you put before our tables, that you've prepared feasts for us, and there's so many times when we just don't stop and thank you for the little things. And Lord, we do. We've got much to be grateful for, and we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the blessings that you give us. And we just ask, Father, that you continue to bless us more, that you be with us in the times that are before us. We pray, Father, that you deal with these enemies that we see that are making an uproar against you and your kingdom and your people and your land, and they seek to destroy it, Father. There's these stealers, killers, and destroyers that are out there, and Lord, we just lift them up to you, and we ask, Father, that you deal with them as you see fit, that they be bound, bundled, and escorted to your feet so that you can deal with them. We bring them before your throne and ask, Father, that you judge them righteously and justly. Lord, we cry out to you for you to save this land once again. We pray, Father, that we have an awakening across this land, that people turn from their wicked ways and that they seek you and your ways first, and they put you in your proper position. And we thank you for that in Jesus Christ's name. We pray, amen. Thanks, folks, for being here this morning. Lord willing, we'll be back next week.